So coming back to the gold chart, again, this is the, one of the sentiment indicators I use at the bottom. You can see, at the, again, going from left to right, the vertical line responds to the commitment of trader report switch from accumulation to distribution.
Alex Spiriglou, good morning or good afternoon to you. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Andy. Thank you so much for the invitation. My greetings from the UK.
Yeah, my pleasure. My greetings from Atlanta, Georgia, here in the US.
Perfect. Thank you so much again for the invitation. I hope we will do a good presentation for your audience, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I think I'm a fan, and I'm think it's very interesting. And just so all my viewers on YouTube, as well as my listeners on Apple and Spotify, Alex Spiriglou is with Smart Trader Assistance. Is that correct?
Yeah, Smart Trader Assistance basically is the company I've formed recently. I'm an ex-institutional trader. Well, just to give you a high level of my background, because I'm sure people have better things to listen to than my background. I started trading in 1998, finished my university degree in 96, did a bachelor's in Bank International Finance in London, City University, in the City of London. Then did my military service for a couple of years. Then started my career in 1998 in the institutional world. Worked for various buy-side firms, including proprietary trading firms, a couple of hedge funds. In the meantime, during the later stages, I also became the founding chairman of the CMT Association, the largest technical analyst associations, the chairman of the UK chapter. And so the chairman of the UK chapter, the founding chairman, also we founded the Greek chapter as well, the Athens chapter. And around 2002, made a bit of a buzz, if you will, by publishing a paper of a work I had done 7 years previously. It's almost 10 years now. So it was a creative volatility normalized indicator called MACTV. Published a paper. Shared it with the world, and I never thought that it would, you know, attract too much attention, but apparently people thought it was good enough, and they gave me a couple of awards for it, the Charles Dye Award for the CMT Association and the Founders Award for the National Association of Active Investment Managers. Basically, what I did was, volatility normalized the MACD, the MACD indicator, the world-famous indicator. So I managed to solve its five problems that it has, and open up new opportunities by normalizing and then creating more patterns. Also formed a company, the Smart Trader Systems, which is basically a trader development model based on a rules-based trading roadmap, which we'll very, very briefly, at a very high level, talk about today through some examples.
Yeah, let's jump into that. Let's go there first. Your methodology, what indicators you use that you've developed, and then how they benefit people. And then let's talk about the gold markets, and then let's talk about the S&P. So give me your methodology. Work me through that and what indicators you use.
Perfect. So perhaps I can share my screen, because it would be better if I use the visual. Now, can you see my screen now? Got it. All right, I've tried to sort of like minimize the side of the slide deck. This is my methodology in a nutshell. Let me talk about it at a high level. Basically, I believe that each time frame has its own return drivers. And when I say time frames, I mean my operative time frames, which is the daily chart. Now, of course, this is where I execute my trades. There are also the weekly and the monthly time frames. And each time frame has its own return drivers. And I believe that although I'm a technician at heart, at these time frames, it's the fundamentals that prevail. And I think that even if you are a technician, one should be following fundamentals. So I've always been a fan of macro and how to combine these with technicals. Mm-hmm. Now, the trick is how do you decide on which time frame each fundamental factor is important, and of course, which fundamental factors to use. So this is my roadmap. This is the methodology I use. So I start off with the fundamentals, the macros. First of all, with the intermarket cycle. That's on the monthly chart. I think the business cycle is the dominant macro driver on these, on what the economy does, and especially useful if someone's doing fixed income or equity indices. And you can view this either from what the correlations are between the asset classes or using economic indicators. Then I progress on the weekly chart, which I see three dominant factors there. So four in total, including the previous one, which of course can be done on the daily, on the weekly, but I start off with a monthly, which is commitment of trader report, analysis of open interest, especially useful in commodities. And it shows you what the large traders, whether commercials or basically companies who trade or operate in the markets because they have a commercial interest in it. Then I look at sentiment because it's in very, very inversely correlated to liquidity. The more bullish market participants are, the less liquidity they have because they're investing their market. So sentiment is both a trend following and a contrarian indicator. It's
going to be the question. Go ahead. That was going to be my question. Is it sentiment a contrarian indicator for you, or is it a momentum indicator? But go ahead. You answer that.
Well, it's both. Basically, it's a good momentum slash trend following indicator up until it reaches an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is not always wrong. It's always wrong when it's at an extreme.
That's a good way to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't blindly short retail trader positioning just because, they're looking to buy. I mean, they wrongly position it at extremes. So look at primarily the extremes for contrarian views. And then I look at the seasonalities. Again, you can look at their various biases, day of the week, day of the month, day of the year, cycles, and so on and so forth. So because there are recurring patterns in the market when, investors jump in because they have business patterns, when they usually buy and sell, or businesses have a more of a recurring business revenue coming in or expenses. So it's always good. So it used for a timing indicator. So this is my macro background. Now, these are the four factors I use. And I've systematized and quantified these so they can be, provide a very rules-based framework for deciding if a market is bullish or bearish.
Got it. Okay. Let's use this. Let's apply this now to the broader markets, if you would, specifically in the broader markets to the gold markets, if you would. What are you seeing using this roadmap and these systems? What are you seeing in gold specifically as of right now?
Okay, let me actually try to find the relevant, because this slide that comes from a presentation I did last week when I was looking at the markets. For example, I've got gold and also S&P 500. And right. So this is the relevant chart for, no, this is natural gas. There you go. Right. So right at the bottom, I've got the open, the net positions for gold. This is the weekly chart. So top part of the chart is gold. The bottom part is open interest. It's okay. Actually the net commercial positioning. So I'm sure a lot of people from your listeners will be familiar with it, but I'll just give it a description where it is at a high level. So for those that don't know and shouldn't be left behind. So as we all know, in futures markets, there is open interest, which basically is the number of contracts who have not been settled by the end of the day. And the CFTC monitors, tallies these, and categorizes it in, you know, basically large traders, those who have above a threshold value of contracts. Again, trying to simplify this. And below one, which is basically the small traders, retail mm-hmm. traders. So large traders then are sub-categorized, if you will, in two categories. The first one is speculators, large specs, those who participate in markets for speculatory reasons, so sort of like a hedge fund or a bank, or commercial traders. Now, this is the interesting category. Commercial traders are those who participate in futures markets as part of the business. So, for example, Cadbury's, the company here based in the UK that makes a lot of lovely chocolates, will be participating in cocoa markets as in order to buy the first material they use to create, you know, chocolates or sugar. Now, so commercial traders can be either users or producers of a commodity. So for crude oil, it can be a producer or it can be a user, sort of like an airline company. So we've got the net positions of these large traders, and we can see how in total, not per company, they are positioned. And this is very, very useful because what we're seeing here is not just opinions or a chart, but how large companies, literally the smart money, because these companies are actually, they're dealing in the underlying, they are the fundamental, how they're positioning themselves. So what you can see at the bottom of the chart, this squiggly red line, is the net position of commercial traders. So these are companies who actually participate in the physical markets and hedge via futures markets. So currently, the position is 271,000 contracts short. Now, commercial traders, because they are hedgers and they're not speculators, go against the trend. So if a market goes up, they usually sell it because they're locking in profits, or they're trying to participate, you know, lock a price that will respond to their cost of doing business. And that's why you see this usual inverse correlation between the net commercial trader position and price. Now, I've managed to quantify this accumulation and distribution process. And what I did is to give it a bit of a time. Now, that's so what I've said so far is, you know, the theoretical part. Now, the practical part is that you see there is a very big inverse correlation between these. The difficult part is that you cannot use it as a timing indicator. It's very difficult. For those that would be happy to explore the data further, but through the research I've done, because I've been looking at this for quite a number of years, I've managed to kind of like quantify the important turning points from accumulation to distribution. And these are represented by the green and red vertical lines. So when they go from one extreme, so one mode, if you will, accumulation to distribution, you can see these pinpointed on the chart. Since 2024 to now, you can see they have the quantification of these points as a bit of a market time value, but be warned, this is the weekly chart. So I don't automatically buy or sell because of these turning points. What I do, I use this and all of my macro factors as a setup. So starting from the left part of the chart to the right one. So for example, when it's highlighted 26th of February 2024, and we had an accumulation signal, if you will, a bullish signal, the market responded to it. No, it does not respond always to it. I mean, just the chart I've got here, you know, the latest you know, period couple, past a couple of years, year and a half, it responded very well. But it doesn't always happen that way. I mean, you probably have a 60 to 70% chance, if you want to be completely honest about it. So what I do is I mark this with a green vertical line, which means look for buy setups. So that's one of the factors I look at from the weekly chart, the macro, to make me switch on the daily chart and then start looking for buy signals on the daily chart.
Okay, if I could interrupt you here just really quickly, you had an extreme in February 24 in the commercials net net long, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so net long commercials at an extreme, it looked like that was a bottom of the market. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, there were net short positions.
I mean, no, pardon me, net short.
Net position. Yeah.
And actually, I used to be a trader and a commodities broker. This was 25 years ago. And we would look at the, I want to say the Commodity Traders report would come out every single week. And again, like you said, we would just look for the extremes. So they were net short, and again, February 24th, and that showed a signal, a bottom of the gold market, it looks like, for the year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, for 2024, yes. Well, with the benefit of hindsight, it did. Obviously, at that time, I didn't know that would happen. Right. And obviously, I wasn't interested in catching the bottom. What I'm looking for, so you can, my methodology makes more sense, is look for these turning points from different angles. Basically, I want to have a directional bias on the weekly chart, viewing this from different angles, commitment of trade report, seasonals, intermarket, sentiment, and then switch to the daily chart so I can take a position having a backwind of macro with me. Now, yeah, whether this happened to be the bottom of the chart, I can pretty much guarantee you I did not know this at that time. Right. Now, there are indications, for example, if they have a large position versus their open interest and other type of tools that may point to that direction. But to be honest, I know this on the benefit with the benefit of hindsight. Okay. But I'm not looking for it anyway, because I'm just looking for something that will make, look, the market should go up, start looking for bonk positions. Now, another thing that I'm looking at is also the trend of the underlying market. So obviously, during this period, the underlying trend is up. So buy signals will work much better.
Yeah, let me interrupt you. I think this looks as great, and I think you actually really nailed it. You don't want to place a trade entirely off this. Absolutely not. But what this does, this is like the wind at the back of you, and then it sets other signals. So let me ask this, and just for the sake of time, what other signals are you looking at then with this, again, being the wind at your back?
From a macro point of view, I assume you're asking, Andy, yeah?
Both, the macro and then a micro. So you go in large and then we're going to go down to execute a trade. So,
all right. Okay. So the next part, because how the slides were down was going from point of view. Then I look at sentiment. Let me see if I've got the, I've got that one. Do you see? Yeah, it is. There you go. So this is another, you're lucky. So this is again, the same chart, but I've switched from the commitment of trade reports to sentiment. And I'm looking for extremes. Now, the vertical lines respond to the previous factor, to the commitment of traders report. So what and I've left it on purpose so as to see how everything gets pieced together. From all the factors I look at, I'm not looking for everything to line up at the same time. I just need two. If the market is very bullish, one will suffice. If it is, you know, it's an emerging trend, I will need two. If I get three, I'm thrilled. But I don't need everything to line up. I mean, you very hardly get everything at the same time. Unfortunately, I wish it was that easy. Sometimes you may get conflicting signals. For example, the commitment of trade report may be bullish, sentiment may be neutral, and seasonals may be bearish. Mm-hmm. So in that situation, you may have to, depending on your risk appetite, say, okay, this is too confusing, I let it go. Or I may go with a more prevalent factor, which is commitment of traders board, but I will manifest my indecision, my position sizing. So coming back to the gold chart, again, this is the, one of the sentiment indicators I use at the bottom. You can see at the, again, going from left to right, the vertical line responds to the commitment of trade report switch from accumulation to distribution. It coincided with sentiment. So at that time, I had two indicators, two factors pointing at the same direction. Right. Sentiment was too bearish and commitment of trade report indicating that you should have an... So that was good. So the second point, this is the second vertical line, the commitment of trade report said you might see some kind of a top. Now, because of the underlying strong trend, that happened to be a sideways move, a trend change rather than a trend reversal. But still, that it was also a filter to tell you don't take any buy signals, at least not for now. At that time, the sentiment wasn't high. It had some signs of bullish, you know, froth previously. So although this very rules-based, there is an element of judgment. So I like to think of myself semi-systematic than fully, you know, fully systematic or fully automated. Now, the second sell signal, if you will, alert, if you will, you can see everything lined up. Again, the market had a correction and then went sideways. So currently, and when I say currently, a couple of weeks ago, we had a commitment of trade report buy alert. I refrain from using the word signal because I don't want people to think that, you know, this is an automated, you know, just because it's the weekly chart. Buy alert, if you will, and also almost coincided with an extreme at sentiment, just one indicator. Of course, I have more than one indicators for sentiment because unfortunately, not everything speaks at the same time as much as I would like it to. So currently, I'm quite bullish on... from a macro point of view, on gold. And I know psychologically it's difficult because you can see it's a market that has been enjoying quite a spectacular bull market. But using this, you know, rules-based, if you will, roadmap, this methodology, it helps keep my own sentiment in check. Because naturally, I would have said, no, it's going too up, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the facts say, well, at least what I'm looking at, it says it's probably even more bullish.
Yeah, wow, even more bullish. One of the things I'd like to add on that is you actually are very systematic, but I like that you have a nuance too, is where you're using your own judgment. Let me just talk to my viewers and listeners here. Gold's been in a bull market for about 25 years. So if you've gone on with, hey, it's going too far up, and I'm not advocating by any means jumping in on the top or when sentiment is at extremely positive by any means. But the past 25 years, you would have missed every single move because it's air quotes too far up. So you can't use that really, I don't think, as an indicator. It's either in a bull market or not. And what Alex is doing here is just placing his indicators as he has on, again, his macro point of view, if he would, and just seeing where those indicators, correct me if I'm wrong, are to really highlight really good lower risk entry points. And it just really depends on how many indicators you have matching up at the time. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Andy, you've got it exactly right. And what I do is, again, I'm jumping ahead a bit, a few slides, is because I've got my, as I mentioned, the macro factors, the technicals, and try to see where these line up. Because if you say, categorize macros, bullish or bearish, and then technicals, bullish or bearish. Of course, there can be more classification in between. Let's keep it simple. Basically, you have a 2x2 metric. So my A trades are when I have bullish macro and bullish technicals, and gold is in that phase. Yeah. The second is when you have technically bullish and the macro is so and so. And the contrarian is when you've got the D trades, when you've got bullish macro, but it hasn't manifested in price as of yet.
Got it. Yeah. Let's go, if you can touch briefly on just the overall market on the S&P. What are your indicators saying and what is your methodology saying about the overall general market?
All right, so let's start with the most Googled word of the past few years, recession. So I've used, again, I'm a big proponent of technicals, but also when I'll be looking at the macro. So let's go back to one slide. You know, again, starting from the intermarket cycle and macros. What I'm looking at is the smooth, one of the models. I use the smooth US recession probability model. It basically shows you combining various factors. If we are in a recession or not, this is a Fed model. So let's look at its history and then see what it says now. Right. So this black line is the Dow, the Charles Dow index, the Dow index. And the blue line basically is this model. And when it goes above 5%, it indicates a recession. These green vertical lines are the actual recessions as identified with the benefit of hindsight by the National Bureau of Economic Research, the NBER. So NBER defined recessions. So again, 1969, the model spoke very accurately. 73 again. 78 it did, but there was no recession. And then 76, no recession. 79, it caught the recession. So we're seeing a dual view, both of the, how the market reacted and what the economy did as from a recession point of view, at least as defined by the NBER defined recessions. So it was quite accurate in the 70s. Again, same thing in the, we can see this in the 90s. Just before the crash, the market, the bear market in 2000s, you know, with the dot-com bubbles, for those who were around, we had to leave. I was actually, that was my first bear market, because I started in 1998, and I caught the tail ends of it. When yeah, it was literally confusing brains with a bull market. Everything I touched turned to gold, and I thought, oh man, I'm really smart. No, actually, it wasn't. I wasn't as smart as I found this subsequent months. Again, 2007, that is the subprime crisis, and 2020 when we had the COVID, and you can see that the market, the model was quite accurate. Currently, no recession indication.
You know, that's fascinating to me, and I'm actually... I'm interrupting you, but that's fascinating because I have I have a new theory since the beginning, really since the beginning of the year, a new macro theory. But and I'll share that later. But the indicators are not showing a recession, which is actually, I think, contrary to a lot of people what they're saying.
Yeah, from from a sentiment point of view, you know, the proverbial market climbs a wall of worry. And when everyone will think we can't go for recession, this is when you will be actually going for one. And well, everyone's looking for one. It won't. The market tries to do to whatever it can to fool as many people as it can.
Yeah. And let me just also take a step back. That green vertical line, when was that? Was that in 2020?
Yep.
Yeah. That's when we had a brief... slow down. Going macro here. That's really when they just flooded the system with liquidity. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. And exactly. And if you see the indicator, it has a lot of false positives. So, for example, if you see between 2005, 2006, very briefly went above 5. It didn't stay long. It's not perfect model now. And also back in the 70s, a couple of times there. So, through its history, you can see that it has a history of sometimes very briefly indicating a recession where there isn't one, but so far it has never missed one. So, which means going forward, if history is any guide, we will be getting some notification from this model and other ones, of course, as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating, Alex. Well, let's end on that. I'm sorry, I do have a hard stop here. But Alex, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they go about doing that, and how do they find you out on the web?
Well, my website is currently under construction, and we will be alexspiroglou.com, my first and last name. And what they can do is they can just email me, alex@alexspiroglou.com. Send me an email if you're interested in more information. Because I'm right now, if I may be a bit more self-promotional, if I will.
Please.
I'm launching a trader training community. But the difference will be that all the training will be for free. I mean, what I'm saying, the course will be for free. And I will not be charging you for information, but just for implementation and actual implementation through a community. So what I'll do is we're forming a community. And if someone that after having watched the training is interested and they want to go from theory to practice, from information to implementation, they can join us.
Excellent. Okay. I will put the links to all of this in the show notes, both on the YouTube channel, on the Apple podcast, as well as Spotify. And Alex Spiroglou, thank you so much. I really do appreciate your time and just fantastic stuff.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to having a discussion again.
I'd love to have you on again. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Andy.